Take your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Luke chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 19. Luke chapter 16, and we'll begin reading at verse 13 shortly, but also Matthew chapter 19, and we'll begin reading at verse 4 there. If you would, let's stand together. Luke 16, and begin reading at verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. Don't ever forget that. The Lord knows your heart. And just because we're in the house of God today doesn't mean that our heart is right with God. God knows your heart. Verse 18, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. Whoso marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. If you would, the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Matthew, chapter 19, and we'll begin reading at verse 4. And he answered, that being Jesus, and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Who made them at the beginning? Our Lord made us. And he said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the Word of God, and may we read it with interest and desire to know. And Lord, as we have this sermon today, may it touch hearts. And Lord, if there is one here that doesn't know Thee as Savior, may this be that day that they turn themselves over to You. And Lord, we just ask now that when we leave, may we say it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Thank You, Lord, for all You do for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our Lord, who has been instructing the disciples, preaching to the publicans and sinners, and challenging the Pharisees, makes this simple statement, no servant can serve two masters. Let me ask you a true and false question. Jesus spoke more about money than he did about heaven. It's true. He talked more about money. See, he realized the draw of money and material things upon our lives. And he spoke about getting things in the right priorities. Pastor David Haldeman writes, There is no middle ground with the Lord. If you don't fill all your heart with God, the devil will fill what is left with the ultimate desire of taking control. And that's a scary thought. One could say this, that discerning Christians realize that America is in spiritual trouble. Roger Campbell, in his weekly article, and I'm glad the source prints his articles, had this to say in this week's edition. He talks about the danger of too much entertainment. He says, the late A.W. Tozer wrote, The Great God Entertainment. in which he describes people who are so addicted to the need of constantly being entertained that what had been intended to enable them to relax in idle times has now become idolatry. And we live in a world that is full of entertainment. Many call their favorite actors, actresses, or athletes their idols. In 1787, Edward Gibbon completed his book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And he talks about the reasons for the fall. And they were this: the rapid increase of divorce, with the result undermining the home, higher and higher taxes, the spending of public money for free circuses for the people, which is entertainment, of course, the mad craze for sports, which became more and more brutal, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy was within, and the decay of religious faith. Does that sound familiar? Note the decline we've seen in America. The banning of Bible reading and prayer from the public schools. The removal of the Ten Commandments from courthouses. The removal of religious items from public land. Legalizing abortion on demand. Homosexuals in the military and the legalization of homosexual marriages. The increase of lewdness and vulgarity on television and in the music industry. And not to mention the anything goes on the internet. Church attendance is on the decline, while the use of technology is on the rise. One has written, everyone is concerned, and yet nothing is being done. There's a realization that things are headed in a wrong direction, but what are people doing? Point number two in our thoughts is distractions. We need a major adjustment in our priorities. What if I were to tell you this, that we as individuals need more Bible time? How many of you would disagree and say, we don't need more Bible time? How many of you would say, we do need more Bible time? Absolutely. How many of you would say, we need more family time? See, I think we need more family time. Yesterday when we were there at the walk for the Women and Teens Pregnancy Center, and because of the great amount of rain that had come on Friday, they had to redo the course because of flooding there at Dodge Park. And it was a blessing to see some families there. And one of the families was our son Brian and Erica and their kids. And it was great to see our oldest granddaughter in Brian's family, Samantha, running in this walk and run. I walked, she ran. I'm not going to tell you whose time was better. Of course, she's 7 years old, and I wish I had all her energy. But it's good to see families doing things together. May I say this? I believe we need more church time. We are finding more and more articles dealing with the addiction to cell phone usage, the internet, and technology in general. It's time maybe to begin turning off some of these things on a regular basis. Again, in the source, maybe you saw this. I had never seen this word, but maybe it's a new word. Nomophobia. Nomophobia. Nomophobia is a result of people becoming more and more electronically connected to the point that their technology-based network and relationships become their home community. Nomophobia, or the pathological fear of remaining out of touch with technology, is a relatively modern affliction. And its changes has made us as humans, our habits, our behaviors, and even the way we perceive reality change. We have become distracted by those little noises our phones make. I do hope yours is turned off. The three major distractions. Oh, number three, the major distractions. The cares of this world. You that are a born-again believer, this world is just something temporary, right? This isn't all there is. Aren't you glad? There is something better for the believer. For the lost person, this is the best they have, and I understand why they love it. But for the believer, this is only temporary. We're going to a better place, but the cares of this world has become a distraction. The deceitfulness of riches. We believe that we are entitled to have everything and to have it now. The lusts of the flesh. I was watching some of the football games yesterday. I purposely went out to my mother-in-law house so I could watch the Spartans. I really thought the Spartans had a chance to win, and unfortunately they didn't. And the Wolverines must not have gone to South Bend, because I don't know who showed up for that game. But I was amazed at the amount of flesh that you see now at a college football game. From the cheerleaders to the fans, we live in a day of lewdness and the lusts of the flesh and the pride of life. We think we're something special. But that's only in comparing ourselves to other people. But these distractions are eating us alive and leaving us by the side of the road as so much trash. We have the wrong priorities. The Lord said, you cannot serve two masters. Number four, the results. I fear that the heart of the collective church today is filled with all that the world offers us, and it's caused us to forget that the Lord, or what the Lord requires of us. What does He require of us? It's a five-letter word. It starts with an F. Faith. And in that faith, He expects us to follow Him faithfully. Sadly, it would seem that we want a cursory or a glib church or a cursory religion. We want to be entertained in the house of God. We want to be made to feel good. And yet when people listen to Jesus, many times they got angry. Angry to the point they wanted to kill Him. Notice that when Jesus spoke many times to the religious people, He called them hypocrites. You know how often He was talking and they didn't want to follow Him and they stopped. We want a God who will accept us as we are instead of striving to be what He wants us. We want a Sunday-only Christianity that allows us just enough world to have fun. And we try to serve two masters. Christian author Jim Berg writes, we don't have Christians by and large who are trying to be as holy as they know how, but are trying not to be too worldly. And as I read that, I thought that's a very scary thought. That we really don't want to be holy, we just don't want to be too worldly. We have forgotten that we are the light and the salt of the world. We cannot and should not expect the government to do the church's job. We cannot and should not expect the public school system to do the church's job. We cannot and should not expect our pagan society to do the church's job. Who should be doing the church's job? The church. We should be doing it. Notice what it says in verse 18. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another. We find three major areas of concern for today's fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches. The style of music. I have people call up and they'll say, what type of music do you have? And I say, if you come into our auditorium, you'll find that we have a piano and an organ. And I'll have two responses. Oh, click. Or, oh, that's nice. Two responses. We have a style of music conflict today. We have Bible version conflicts. We use the King James. And yet, if you go to certain churches in the area, you'll find other versions. But one of the major ones is marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we find that that has become a major issue. But 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, let us do all things decently and in order. Do you believe that God has an order for how he wants things to be? Do you believe he has standards? Do you believe in standards? How many of you have a tape measure at home? You have a tape measure. How many of you think that that tape measure should be accurate? Yeah? Don't you think that if I have a tape measure and Dan Jones has a tape measure, they ought to be the same? Don't you think so? And if Rudy has one, don't you think they ought to be the same? Yeah, my wife took one of mine years ago. I've never gotten it back. I don't know where it is. But if she ever finds it, oh, I'm in real trouble now, Judy. It ought to be the same as mine, right? There ought to be a standard. What I'm saying is there should be something that is accurate. Your yardsticks, your rulers, they ought to be the same. How about when you go to get gas? Do you think that Speedway and Mobil ought to have the same measurement for a gallon of gas? They should, right? If you go over here to Marathon, a gallon of gas should be the same as at Speedway. There should be a standard. A gallon of milk should be a gallon of milk. How many of you like buttermilk? Oh, I like buttermilk. You ever put a little pepper in your buttermilk? Salt? I'm not sure about salt, but a little bit of pepper. Man, that's good. But what has happened to ice cream cartons? I mean, they've gotten smaller. Has the price gotten smaller? No, something's wrong there, folks. Well, I don't drink coffee, so I'm not sure what you're talking about with coffee. They've gotten smaller? Okay. And probably costs more. Yeah. Standards in sports provide the parameters necessary for uniformity, fair competition, and predictability. We want standards. Without the rules of the game, anarchy would reign. Your physical body has standards, wouldn't you agree? You need so much oxygen, correct? You need so much blood. You need so much heat or coolness for some of you. You need so much nutrients. My tongue is not working today. I guess I'm hungry. Our contemporary culture looks with disgust and disdain on our godly American founders, considering themselves enlightened and freed from the shackles of the Judeo-Christian ethics. If it feels good, do it. We need to be tolerant. The Bible tells us that the Lord made them husband and wife, or male and female, to what? To marry. Today, they say, hey, do whatever you want. You know, the day will come, if we continue this direction, you'll be able to marry your dog. Right? I mean, at what point do you draw a line? Yeah, you'll be able to marry whoever, and we can just continue right down that line, but we won't. But count on it, our society at large can be expected to follow the dictates of the flesh and a depraved human nature. See, we as believers, we ought to be different. We should look different. We should act different. We should smell different. There should be a difference about us. The lesson that man left to himself will do that which is right in his own eyes, Judges 21:25. Isaiah 5:20-21 says, woe unto them which call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They don't care what God thinks. They only care what man thinks. The historical books of the Old Testament show how Israel failed to heed God's warnings about standards that would have shown a separation between them and the Canaanites and the Philistines. But they didn't care. They wanted to be like those nations around them. Point number 7, godly standards set Christians apart. Godly standards set Christians apart. Standards observed for their own sake can become legalistic or self-righteous, but we need to have standards because we believe God has standards. We are to have standards of dress, behavior, music, separation, and these are to be done to please our Lord. They are to be done out of a godly heart. And if we don't want godly standards, let me ask you this. If you don't want godly standards, then I'll ask you the question, why not? Should we want godly standards? We should. And if we don't want godly standards, then we have to ask the question, why not? 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If you are a born-again believer, you are the temple of God and he dwells within you. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you would quickly turn over to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. If you would, let me hear those pages turning. For you that have your Bible on some type of an iPad, I obviously can't hear that. But if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. Did you hear about those people who heard the rumor that Apple was putting out a new phone? That it may come out in 5 or 6 weeks, and they're already sitting waiting? I guess they think that Apple's only going to make 7 or 8 of them. I don't understand, but where was I? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Notice, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We should desire godly standards. What is the problem the world has with the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt honor thy parents. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We have a problem with that because we want our own standards. Unfortunately, most are irritated with calls for repentance and a return to the ancient landmarks which were established for our well-being. When Brother Rogers comes, he may ask me, he may want to say, Pastor, is there anything you want me to say? And I'll say, yes, preach at them. And that's all I'll say is preach at them. You know, he'll come and he'll desire that you repent if there's something that needs to be changed. but we get upset when repentance is mentioned. Only a few today tremble at God's word. And those that do will pay the price of rejection, scorn, ridicule, and or exclusion. 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 14. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. We are to continue in the Word of God. That should be our desire, to remain faithful to our Lord. In conclusion, if you would, 1 Corinthians, I believe you're in 2 Corinthians, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 12 down through verse 14. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. We need to be putting the Lord first. Notice what it says in verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Let us not put other things in front of our Creator God. Let us not put things in front of our Savior. Let us remain faithful to Him. Shall we stand together? A song of invitation we'll be singing, Just As I Am, 375. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd love to have the opportunity to show you from the Word of God what you have to do to be saved. And if you have been saved and you have maybe allowed certain things to get in the way, maybe today you need to come and get some things right. Or maybe you would like to truly participate in this Focus 5, where you would say, Lord, I want to help the pastor here, and I want to invite five people, and I want to invite them and see them come. Maybe you'd like to come and pray and have the Lord give you help in talking to them. We'll give you that opportunity in just a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this invitation time. Bless it, we pray, in thy name and in thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.